Very good to know. I invite you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity for us to hear it. Pray that you might help me to be faithful to it, and for all of us that we might have ears to hear it and hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as you would have figured out, we are looking at the healing of the official's son today in John's gospel. And actually, this is one of seven signs that are in the book of John. John records seven of these signs, about Jesus in his life and ministry, seven signs that show us who Jesus is, seven signs that ought to move us, if the signs can be relied upon, to believe, to trust, to have faith. You can see some of them up on the screen right now. You've got the first one we looked at, water into wine. And if you move up like a clock around the circle, you know, you see the band-aids. That's what we're looking at today. Jesus healing the official son. Now, here's the thing. Lots of people will say something like this. They'll think of faith as being blind. So you have this thing called faith, blind faith. They'll say, oh, I wish I had as much faith as you. I trust the evidence too much, they might say. Someone might say, oh, you have faith, I have reason. Or if only I had as much faith as you. Someone might pin two options against one another. They might say, well, faith or belief is on the one hand and, you know, evidence on the other. But I want to say, no, faith is not blind. Faith is not blind. No, it's reasoned out. Faith stands on evidence and testimony. Even if you can't see the thing that you've placed your trust in, it's not blind. Let me give you a very simple example. And I'm wondering if I can have, and I probably should have organized this ahead of time, but I need two brave volunteers. Actually, you don't need to be too brave. One needs to wear a blindfold. Can I see a hand? Someone that will wear a blindfold. Oh, Greg, thank you. Come up the front. A wonderful man. You'll see the blindfold just here. I've prepared it earlier. If you can tie that around your eyes so that you can't see and just stand here. Best to stand and then put the blindfold on, I think. Lest we fall. And can I have someone else who will help in this little example as well? It's not hard, your job. I see that hand. Thank you, Pete. Could you come up the front and stand over here? Thank you. All right. Now, I don't want anyone to give away what this is just now, but can you see what's in my hand? Everyone can see it? Yes. You see vaguely what it is. So you can see it. Don't say what it is out loud. Yeah, okay, all right. Now, what I'm going to do in a minute is I'm going to put it in my pocket. No, I'm not going to give it in your hand just yet. I'm going to put it in my pocket. Thank you. It's going in my pocket, all right? Okay. Can you see it, Greg? No, you can't. Okay, you can take the blindfold off. That's fine. All right, Greg, what's in my pocket?
It's in the keys.
Set of keys. No, sorry, I'm afraid not. Pete, I wonder if you could let our brother know what's in my pocket.
There is a ticket to the Wacky Warehouse.
Yes, the Wacky Warehouse. Who's been to the Wacky Warehouse? Ah, yes, a few people. It's exciting for kids. Now, Greg, do you believe him?
Yes.
You believe him. What reason do you have to believe Pete's testimony here?
I trust him.
You trust him. Okay, so you know a little bit about Pete. You think he's a trustworthy guy, and he's told you what is in my pocket. Now, how about all of you? Do you trust what he said about what's in my pocket? You have a different reason to trust it. Yeah, you saw some sort of card. So you all saw it from a distance. You saw it up close, didn't you? And we told Greg, this is what's in Dan's pocket, and you trusted him. All right, thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Look, it's pretty simple, isn't it? But this is what we call testimony, and this is what we call revelation. That is, what was in my pocket was revealed to Greg. Revelation, testimony. I think that that is solid evidence. If someone saw it happen and he said, this is what's there, okay, you then have the choice. Will I trust that testimony, that evidence that's been provided, or will I not? The truth was revealed by word of testimony. Someone experienced it. We all did. The reality was revealed. But now let's read from John's gospel what he says about why he, John, collected and passed on these seven accounts of signs. Here's what he says. He says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, this is what he says at the end of his gospel, these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life in his name. Now, you might not have remembered the bit of the New Testament that David read for us in the middle of our two readings. But John, in his life, he says, that which we've seen, that which we've heard, that which we've touched, okay, that's what he passed on. This is something John had experienced, seen firsthand, and he passed on. As you read John's gospel, I want you to keep this in mind as well. Now, Pete, we could trust you that what you were telling about what was in my pocket was the truth, right? Okay, yeah, we can. Okay, would you be prepared to die for that truth? If someone walked in the door right now and said, deny that you saw that wacky warehouse card in Daniel's pocket or you're done for. We're going to throw you at you in boiling oil. You probably wouldn't, would you? Why? Why wouldn't you? It's not worth dying for. The reason is it's not important. What's in my pocket is not important. It's a wacky warehouse loyalty card, okay? And actually, the next one's free. So maybe it is worth it. I don't know. John the Apostle, on the other hand, was willing to go to his own death, or at least his own torture. Tradition tells us he was boiled in oil, okay? And he was willing to go and do that in order to maintain that what he saw, Jesus, and the signs associated with Jesus' life and ministry were true and reliable. And so you got to think, can I trust John's testimony? I reckon you can. So he includes seven signs that you might believe his testimony and find life in Jesus. Today we're looking at the second sign, the healing of the official's son. And what I would like to do is revisit a few of the characters, starting with the royal official. The royal official. What I like to do when I read these accounts is I like to enter in as close as I can to their experience, try to figure out in my mind's eye, what is the experience that these people had? Well, why do I do this? Well, on the one hand, it makes the whole thing more interesting. You know, if you think, oh, I wonder what life was like for this royal official. But the other thing that I think is good about this is it reminds me that this royal official is not just some character in a book or a felt, you know, character on a board. Okay, this is a real person with a real backstory. He has a son, so presumably he has a wife. He had to explain to his wife that he'd tried everything and now he's going to see this wandering wonder worker over in Cana, right? So this is all a background. He has servants, a property, which we know from the end of the account, they come out and greet him, don't they? This is a real person, okay, with real stressful responsibilities and a real son who is on death's door. That's something maybe some of us have experienced ourselves. If not our son, we've had a family member be on death's door and we've had people close to us die as well. The official son was about to die, and my sense is that he was likely down to his very last resort. An official probably has access to doctors, okay, at least doctors of the time. An official probably has access to all of the, you know, upper echelon people who would treat people of his high standing, maybe perhaps having tried many doctors and who knows what else. Or whom else, this man of high standing went out of his way, okay, to approach this wonder worker. Here's where Capernaum is over here, and he travels over here. This is where Cana is, all right? So he makes this journey. And back in those days, you don't just jump in the car Okay, you know, this is a journey that takes time. You have to prepare for it. He probably have to come with an entourage. And I have a feeling that this wouldn't have been an honorable move for him either, you know, to go and meet this wandering wonder worker who's homeless, okay, even for the time. But if this didn't work, think about this as well, there probably wouldn't be enough time to try anything else. This is it. Last ditch effort. Are there any other characters in this story? Well, there are. There's obviously there's the son at home, there's the servants, but there's also the Galileans. Did you catch it? The Galileans. Here's what the word says. It says, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival because they had also been there. Now, the Galileans have their own history, their own little background to this story. They had seen everything Jesus had already done in Jerusalem. And if you were carefully reading through chapters 1 through to the end of chapter 4, you'd think, okay, what did Jesus do in Jerusalem at the Passover? I've done the hard work for you. He cleared the temple out, okay? He cleared the temple out. That was what he did. They saw this. And if you remember, the Jewish people at the time, they asked him at that time, they said, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And that's when Jesus predicts his coming death and his resurrection. But it also says this. This is what John says at that time in Jerusalem, after Jesus did this, and he also did many other things there. It says this. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. Jesus didn't entrust himself to them. What did he know about them? What did Jesus know about them? Do you ever ask these sorts of questions when you're reading the New Testament, reading the gospel, and you read a thing like this, you're like, huh, what did Jesus know about them? Why don't you take a moment as a brain break just to chat to the person beside you? What did Jesus know about the Galileans that meant that he didn't entrust himself to them? It says they believed in his name. Why didn't he entrust them? Have a chat with the person beside you for just a few moments. All right, that's 1 minute, actually, exactly, which is good. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you to tell me what your answers were, and that's why you can keep them to yourself. And later we'll revisit this question, and then you can go, huh, that's different from what we talked about. Or you can say, huh, that is what we talked about. Well, let's talk about the sign. We're going to rejoin the account, and we're going to follow what happens to the royal official, okay? Now, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and was begging him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Clearly, he's in a desperate situation, isn't he? And look at Jesus' response. The NIV actually helpfully shows that Jesus' response isn't directed at the official. Okay, in English, we just have a verb that, you know, has a singular, but in Greek, you can do the plural thing. You can say use. Maybe we should start saying use. You know, now I see some no's in the room, but let me tell you, language is usage, all right? And if it's more useful to say use, anyway, you can have that debate after. Greek clearly saw the value of having a plural you. Okay, they had use. Now, he says, and this is the way the NIV puts it, unless you people, right, helpfully, plural, right, you people see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. Why would Jesus respond like this? John snaps the focus back to the royal official, and the royal official says this to Jesus, he says, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus says, go, your son will live. What must it have taken for this man to leave Jesus that day? If you think about it for a moment, to leave the healer, make that journey back and go to your son, trusting that he's been healed. I can only imagine the gut-wrenching pain he must have felt in his belly as he makes that journey. Now, you know, you may have heard the other accounts in the Synoptic Gospels, the other Gospels about this healing, and you know, they add a little bit of detail that, oh, the royal official, he understood authority and he knows what it means to go. And, you know, even if that's the case, even with that added detail, you still got to be wondering, what am I going to see when I get home? What am I going to be greeted with? What it must have taken to trust Jesus that's way. And so it's interesting that in the account, John recounts that the official believes twice, not just once. It says he believes. It says he believes twice at two different points. The first time, the NIV translates the word in the phrase, the man took Jesus at his word. So here it is here. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. And the man, see it is there, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. So this is belief that prompts action. It prompts him to set back home. It's a belief that produces action. Let me ask you this. What sign has the official seen at this point? Just the word. Yeah, just the word. Beyond that, nothing. He hasn't seen anything. He hasn't seen any sign. What about the Galileans? Well, isn't it true that they'd seen plenty? It said, we read earlier that in Jerusalem that they'd seen Jesus do all sorts of things, all right? They'd seen plenty before this time at the Passover. And yet, at least at this moment, they would not be allowed to know what happened at the end of the story. The Galileans just saw Jesus say, go, and the official went, and they're left there going, I wonder what would happen. It's almost like Jesus is saying, look, you have seen enough already. What will you do with what you've seen? Will you believe? Believe and have life, just like this man's son will find life, just like this official will find life on the other side. I think Jesus knew, in sort of partial response to my question earlier, I think he knew that the Galileans, their desire was to see a spectacle. But more than that, maybe, to accumulate evidence, okay? Signs, do nothing with it. In fact, you know, Jesus knew that he was soon going to be going to his death, and who was going to be involved in his coming to death on a cross? Isn't it all the people who had seen all the things he'd already done? So we might accumulate evidence, signs, reason to believe, but then do nothing with it or discard it. Or here's the kicker, when it comes to Jesus' trial, even to squash it or act against it. I think that's something that we can do as well. We can gather all the evidence, all the reasons to believe, and then either discard it or even squash it. You know, no, it doesn't apply to me. I would rather not believe. The question is, what will you do with what you've heard? What will you do with what you've heard? The second time the official is said to believe is when he arrives home and the official, his servants, they run out to meet him. Imagine the scene at that point. They rush out to meet him and they say his son had got better. And realizing he got better the moment Jesus said that your son will live, he believes. See, then the father realized this was the exact time at which Jesus had said your son will live. And so he and his whole household believed. They believed. So they believed a second time. Are these two moments of belief redundant? Didn't he already believe? Why is it that when he saw this sign, now he's experienced the sign, why is it that he believes at that point? I don't think it's redundant. I actually think that John is helping us a little bit more to see the difference between this royal official and the Galileans, and it shines the spotlight on our own response as well. Because doesn't the experience of the official describe our own situation? What is this sign for us? We today, we've believed, many of us have, that Jesus, the Christ, he gives life eternal. Do you believe that? Do you believe? I believe it. Now, you might still be in the process of hearing the message and hearing about the signs that point to it. But many of us have believed. And so day by day, what do? We live our life in obedience to him. We are like the royal official on the journey. We're making our way. We go, we grow in grace, we make disciples on the way. But as we go, we all of us, I think, at one point or another, we feel a little bit like that royal official, like he must have on that journey away from Jesus back home. We wonder what will be waiting for us when we get home. If we're honest, that's something we've all wondered at one point or another. But put yourself back in this Roman official's outfit. You've gone to see the wonder worker. He's told you to go home. The pain of that journey home. Will I have lost my last moments with my son because I went over here to see this wonder worker? Too late. I've thrown in my lot with Jesus. I'm going to stick with it. I'm heading home. There must have been a point along the way when he's thought, look, I'm a royal official. I could go back and get Jesus and force him to come. But he doesn't. He shows his continued dependence and trust on Jesus by continuing to walk. Imagine the conversations roaring around his head as, in my mind, I wonder what he'd say to his wife. She says, where's the wonder man? And I say, well, he told me to go home. And she says, and you just what? You just came home. You didn't bring him with you. And I said, well, he said to come home. This royal official believed, and at best we could say he believed because he had heard. He had heard what people have said about Jesus. And then hearing him, he took Jesus at his word. And the product of that belief was action. The question for us is, what have you heard about Jesus? And what will you do with what you've heard? John was there. He saw it. He recorded 7 signs that show us who Jesus is. This royal official, one of the signs, he went home and he found his son alive and he believed. Or another way to put it might be that the belief he carried with him on that journey was confirmed. He believed and then he really believed. And hey, I imagine he felt at that point when he got home, boy, I am glad I believed. I'm glad I took Jesus at his word. I'm glad that I've trusted him. And not only that, but his whole household believed as well. I wonder about them as well. Do you think there were gaps in their knowledge? The boy got well yesterday at 1 o'clock. And the royal official says, well, that's when I spoke to Jesus. And they say, did you? Is that when it happened? You know, there were gaps in their knowledge as well. And yet they believed. Because they took him at his word. They trusted his testimony. And look, here's the thing. We all want every piece of the puzzle to be filled out, don't we? Every piece before we believe. But we've got to understand that that is simply, in every single case I can think of at least, impossible. Not in all things, we build a case for reasonable belief and then we go for it. I believe my wife, Kat, loves me. I believe it. I think it's a reasonable belief to hold. Can I prove it? I don't think I can. I can say, hey, she does kind things for me. I can say last night, in fact, she was up with Edith when she was crying through the night so that I could have a good night's sleep and talk to all of you in an engaging way. I think she did it because she loves me, and I think she did it because she loves you as well. This account is written for our benefit. We get to see the sign, right? Not every gap in the puzzle is going to be there for us, but we can see enough. It assures us that it is worth persevering in belief, that when Christ returns or calls us home, our belief will be confirmed in that ultimate sense. And at that moment, we're in the position of the royal official. We're going to go, you know what? I'm so glad I believed. I believe. I think this is important, belief and faith. If you're worried because you wake up some mornings and you aren't sure what you believe, but you make the decision just to keep going, you're in the same position as this royal official. Consider what must have been going through this man's mind on the way home. What mattered wasn't whether he had doubts along the way. What mattered was the course he took. He trusted Jesus enough so that when those doubts entered his mind, he took another step and he kept going. He went home. That doesn't mean he didn't have reason to believe. He had the testimony of the Galileans and perhaps others too. And just like you and I have reason to believe, one of them is John's testimony and the testimony of this official. And you might also have had your own experiences as well. Now, his faith wasn't blind, just like yours and mine isn't blind. As we find out from the other accounts of this healing, his faith was reasoned. And you can say this man understood something about Jesus the Galileans didn't. He understood that his life and the life of his son depended on Jesus. Enough of the puzzle had come together and he went for it. For you and I, we have to recognize Jesus is the difference between life and death as well. The good news is we don't have to go in blind. No, based on John's testimony, the seven signs he shares, the testimony of this official included, and perhaps your own testimony as well. The question is, what will we do with all this? We start the journey. We keep on in the journey and we complete the journey as we encourage others in the journey as well. And if you believe, the time is coming when you'll believe again and you'll be so glad that you do. Will you pray with me now? Heavenly Father, I do pray that for all of us, that you might help us to trust in your word, just like the royal official trusted in your word. Help us to trust in the testimony of John and the testimony of the people who met Jesus, that these seven signs show us. They show us who Jesus is and that all we need to do is to trust in him. Help us to do just that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.